If we want to be authentic disciples of Jesus, we have to follow his way of life, not just his belief system or the way he, you know, the things he taught. We believe those with our minds, but living as a disciple means we have to walk the way he walked and treat people the way he treated people. And kindness is a great way to see all of that clearly. So we'll start digging into the scripture today, and then over the course of the next few weeks, we'll have more in store on that. To kick things off, though, I want to have you ask your neighbor a question, okay? This is the question, what's your superpower? But before you answer, this is not what Marvel superpower do you have. If you happen to have that, I guess you could tell them. But I'm thinking, what is the thing that you are especially gifted and good at? Okay, this is one moment where you can set all the humility aside and you can actually be kind of confident about this and go, you know what? I really am a good, you know, fill in the blank. I'm a good teacher. I'm a good encourager. I'm really good at cleaning my house or whatever it is that you're good at. Go ahead and celebrate that. So go ahead and ask your neighbor, what's your superpower? All right, now hold on. Some of you are taking this a little bit too far. Yes, you can talk about yourself, but not that much, right? Okay, so you can save a little bit of that for after church when you can say, where were we? Oh yeah, I was talking about how great a job I'm doing. So feel free to have that conversation later. But I'd like to circle us back to this idea that kindness is like a Christian superpower that when you put it to use, you will see amazing things happen in your life, in your relationship with God, in your relationships with your family and friends, here at church, out in the community. Kindness makes an amazing difference. So over the course of the next 5 weeks, we want to learn how to be kind like that. Not just kindness in sort of the shallow, like let's be nice to each other sense, but what does it mean to be kind the way that God commands us to be kind? Okay, so first we'll look in the scriptures a little bit just to get some orientation here. You say, Dan, is kindness really in the Bible? Yes, in fact, it's there quite a bit. So here we have in Colossians 3, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So when you identify as a Christian and you say, yes, I believe in Jesus, I've been set apart by God, I'm supposed to live a holy life. Well, what does that mean? What does that look like? Of course, it means things are happening inside your heart and your belief system is changing. But what's the outward manifestation of the fact that your life has changed? It's that you clothe yourself to live and walk the way Jesus lived and walked. And how did he do that? Well, the text tells us tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I don't believe you can be a serious disciple of Jesus if you're not kind. Because Jesus demonstrated kindness everywhere he went. We'll talk about that in a little while. Okay, we also find later in the scripture, or a different book of the scripture here, Galatians 5, the fruit the Holy Spirit produces is this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So as you yield your life to the control of the Lord, as the Holy Spirit directs you, as he changes you, having believed in Jesus, he moves into your heart, starts working in you, what's the evidence of that? What's going to happen to you differently now that the Holy Spirit is a part of your life? Well, one thing that's going to happen is you're going to start cultivating kindness. How do we do that? Okay, Ephesians 4:32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. So based on that verse, would you say that the Bible suggests that we pursue kindness? It does, but would you say it's a little more than a suggestion? It's a directive, isn't it? It's a command. Be kind. So it's not just if you want your life to feel better. I mean, it will make your life feel better, but it's not just here's a path for self-improvement. No, it's a command. Be kind. Instead of living the way the world lives, bitterness, rage, anger, set that aside and instead choose kindness. So we want to find out how to live that way, how to follow Jesus down that road. So this challenge, what we're calling the kindness challenge, there's a few resources that you have available if you want to pursue it. Okay, here they are. First of all, we've got, of course, the Bible. And for 5 weeks in a row here, as you come to church, we're going to concentrate on biblical kindness. We'll look at what the scriptures say specifically about how we do this. In the New Testament, we find all sorts of commands that are referred to as the one another's. Love one another, pray for one another, encourage one another. We'll dig deep into those. We'll figure out how do we really live that way. They're easy to understand. So you might say, do we really need to spend 5 weeks saying be kind? Well, it depends on how kind we're being, I guess. But there's lots of nuances we can explore. But the top line concept here is actually pretty simple. But we want to get good at it. We want to follow Jesus into it. So we'll talk about that at church when you come. A lifestyle change I want to encourage you to make is 30 daily assignments to try kindness in your relationships. Now, these aren't complicated assignments. In fact, we're going to pass these assignments out right now. I need two people who would be willing to pass out our forgiveness or our kindness assignments. Who's willing? Two people are good. Okay, you can do that. And Ryan, you can do that. Okay, so come on up. There's some papers here. I would like every individual in the room to have one. So that means, husbands, you can't just let your wife take it for you. You're supposed to have your own copy because it's a checklist of simple daily assignments, the daily assignment, and then there's a scripture. And in that scripture, we just summarized what that verse says. But the part of the challenge here is that you would look up the verse and read it in context. So there's a few words that summarize kind of the heartbeat of the verse, or the one another command or the proverb that's being referenced. But your job is to look up the verse, kind of take in what it's really about, the deeper meaning, and then do the assignment that's on there. So I've got really good news for those of you who are checkbox people. You're like, hey, if boxes to check, I'm excited now. You could check a box. You might already be able to check it. You certainly could check it before you leave church. On May 4th, one of you who's already gotten the paper, what is the assignment for May 4th? Shout it out really loud. Warmly greet someone. You could do that, right? You could do that right now. Now, I don't want you to take the verse too literally that's attached to that. Okay, so look down at the verse. Say, yeah, we're gonna treat that as a principle, not a literal command today. It says greet one another with a holy kiss. So we're just going to say that's a warm greeting, okay? Warm, like, hey, how's it going? Really good to see you today. Maybe a quick hug or something. You can save the kissing for home. Projects. We're going to give you a weekly big project that where we as a church can practice kindness together. Now, this week's project is we're handing out these papers and we're all saying, yes, we want to be kind. So again, you can get an A-plus this week, but then there'll be other projects coming up. Including we're going to do a little furniture drive and fill a box truck for people in need. We're going to have a blood drive and you can donate your blood. That's all part of the series, ways that we can just exercise kindness. Corporately together, when we're all kind and we help, well, we can do a lot of good. Personally, practically, in your own life, if you start to pursue kindness, you're going to feel your life changing overnight. Right away, things are going to be different. Okay, so why is kindness a superpower? And I'm using that term on purpose, okay? Not just for its whimsical, you know, it's fun to think about that, but I would say that kindness unlocks something supernatural. If we follow the natural pattern of this world, if you do what naturally comes to you, who will you mostly serve? Yourself. And if you do the things that naturally come to you, what will most of your words accomplish? It'll be things that somehow benefit you because you're not primarily naturally thinking about all the other people out there, especially the people further away from you. You're thinking about yourself and the people closest to you. When you get a kind heart, you start doing something different than the world naturally does. And I believe it unlocks some power as well because the difference is so stark. When you stop living for yourself and you start living for Christ and for the benefit of other people, things change and you change. Okay, so why is it a superpower? We're going to look at a few different scriptures here just to introduce this. First of all, it's because kindness reflects God's love. in Titus 3, when the Apostle Paul was kind of summarizing the gospel there, he said, you know, at one time we were all disobedient and enslaved by our anger and our lust, but then the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, and he shares the gospel. God has been so kind to you and I, hasn't he? He's given us what we don't deserve. He's patient with us in our trials and troubles and weaknesses. He's reached out to us in love even when we weren't interested. We weren't reaching back. God demonstrates kindness to us in every detail of our lives. And so as we seek to imitate God, we would say, well, Lord, I'd like to reflect your kind of love to other people by being kind as well. So kindness can do that. Another thing it can do is it can reverse anger. Proverbs teaches us a gentle answer deflects anger. Gentle words are a tree of life. So I don't know how you use, like the strategy you use when you're arguing, but something I've noticed is that if I make a really strong point a little bit louder, I don't usually win the argument. Now, maybe in my mind, I think I win the argument, but I don't really make a lot of friends doing that. Right? But a gentle answer, wow, that deflects anger. That changes the story. When we're kind, even to our enemies, as Jesus taught us to be, things change. And so kindness has a power to overcome some of the relational conflicts we find ourselves in. And it could be that you're in conflict somewhere and that the best thing you could do is not make your point, but it's just to be nice. And being nice would be a fantastic start to a different kind of relationship in the future. It can also heal broken relationships. Colossians 3 says, make allowance for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends you. That if you have a heart of kindness and you're thinking of others before yourself and you're thinking about things through the eyes of the other person, you're able to navigate challenges in your relationships in a whole different way because you start making allowance. You start realizing, I'm not perfect either, and this person's not perfect. I can make some allowance and recognize they're not always going to be perfect. And that allows you to pursue kindness. And when I think about this scripture, I think about how in my life, at least right now, I wouldn't say I usually have a big problem forgiving people. I mean, I realize different things happen in life. Sometimes it's difficult. But right now in my life, if somebody kind of sins against me somehow, I kind of have enough understanding of what Jesus did for me to where I can say, you know, I realize I need to forgive them. Where I have trouble making allowance is not necessarily when people do wrong, it's when people get annoying. Anybody else have that problem? This scripture literally comes to mind. Like, so you're sitting at the coffee shop and you're there to work, you're there to get something done, and then there next to you sits someone who's making a repetitive noise that's not quite right, and you're thinking about that, going, and I think, okay, I've got to make allowance for that person's fault. I don't know why it is, but for me, I actually find annoyances being something I have to kind of yield and say, you know what, if I care about that other person, instead of just focusing on myself, I need to be kind. Maybe they're going through something tough and they need to make a repetitive noise. I don't know, but you know, so, whatever, I'll care about them anyway, and not hyperventilate in that moment. So here's another thing that kindness can do for us. It can be good for us and for others. Proverbs teaches us that kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul, healthy for the body. So it's kind words are good for you to speak because they change your attitude. They put you in the right perspective. They're certainly good for the recipient, right? Some people don't have a whole lot of kindness in their life at all. Like very few people are nice to them. And so if you're the one that speaks kind words, that is like, you know, some sort of salve for their soul. I mean, that's something that could really help and heal them. Here's the last one, and one that I think is just so important when we think about what we're trying to do as a church family, out in the world, making a difference. We hope we can. We're praying that way. And we look at this verse frequently when we talk about outreaching, don't we? Matthew 5, let your good deeds shine so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. Your good deeds, your way of life, your public attitude is part of your testimony. It's part of how you witness. So the verses you memorize, yep, you need those. The story of yourself, you know, how you came to Christ, yep, that's really important. But if those things aren't also supported by your attitude being positive and joyful and Jesus-like, you're going to negate your testimony by the way that you act, by the bad attitude you have. So our attitude of kindness, our actions, our good deeds, our words of love and care, those things all add up to be our testimony. And I really believe kindness can empower your witness. You might have amazing words to say to people, but if they don't think that you care, they're not going to care what you say, right? So you start with being kind, and those good deeds start shining, and then you know, they'll listen. They'll be a lot more interested in your story. So I think kindness unlocks power, and I think it's really exciting that we can spend this month figuring out how to live that way. So I mentioned before that Jesus was kind. I look Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's Jesus is kind all the time. And I know some of you are thinking of something, and you're like, well, what about that time? I'll get to that in just a second. Hold on. But let's just take the majority here. If you think about how Jesus treated everyone everywhere, what do we see? Him reaching out, looking people in the eye, zeroing in on the person who no one else cared about, being kind, thinking about people's physical needs, thinking, you know, attending to them as human beings, as valuable creations of God, to the sick and the needy, to the sinful and the stubborn, to the outcast and the oppressed. Jesus was there reaching out to those people, to strangers and foreigners, to the difficult and undeserving, to the filthy and untouchable. Jesus was the person who is always willing to be kind, even when culturally it wasn't normal to be kind, or when people would criticize him for being kind, he was there. And I know, what are we all thinking about now? Saying, well, what about the time that Jesus was in the temple and he flipped over the tables and he was all upset? Even that, I think you could make a case that why was Jesus doing that? Was Jesus angry in the temple because people were trampling on his rights and he wasn't getting what he wanted or deserved? Is that why he did all that? No. Why was he upset at what was going on in the temple? It's because those money changers were cheating people who were visiting the temple to worship. And so you could say Jesus was, you know, being kind of proactively, semi-violently kind, but it actually was a heart of love that was even motivating that story. Every story in the New Testament, you'll see Jesus, he's living this kind lifestyle. So it stands to reason for me as his disciple that I need to look at how he lived and say, in any interaction I have with any sort of person, I need to be kind. And if I'm not kind, I'm not following Christ. So kindness to everyone, which would be our aspirational goal. I'm guessing you all kind of agree with that. Here's where it gets tough. Kindness to everyone has to begin with kindness to someone. And some of you might know who that is already. It's not the person it's easy to be nice to. Jesus said, you know, anybody can love the people who love them back. How about your enemy? How about the person that's difficult to love? How about the person who genuinely is annoying or whatever? That's the person that you say, could I be kind to them as a disciple of Jesus? If you're willing to make that commitment, I think that's how you start to follow Christ in this way. Now, kindness to the whole world, yes, we want to do that. But here at the beginning of the kindness challenge, I would invite you to think of the person who needs kindness from you, the person that you'd rather not be kind toward. And just ask, why is it difficult to be kind to that person? There might be good reasons, right? Maybe they're not kind to you. Maybe something's not fair. Maybe they're mean. Maybe they've hurt you in the past. Maybe they don't deserve kindness. Maybe they don't put anything into the relationship. You feel like it's a one-way street. You have to do all the work. I don't know what it is, but just assess it and get honest about it. And then you can say, Lord, would you give me the grace to follow you, to treat that person not the way I feel like treating them, but could I treat that person the way you treat me? And if you would look at that person with the eyes of Christ and treat them the way Jesus treats you, you'll find your path to kindness, even to that difficult story. So in the book that we have as kind of a supporting resource to this series, which I'd encourage you to pick up, it's available at the welcome desk. You can talk to them about getting that, or you can order your own or pick up an audiobook. I know the Ladies Book Club is doing this this month, so a lot of you might be reading this anyway. It's not for everyone. I mean, it's kind of a research-backed book where they studied kindness and how people interact and how couples interact and how much of a difference kindness makes when you actually practice it. So it's very interesting to read that. The three things that they kind of define in that book as how to understand kindness practically are reflected right here. That you would nix the negatives. So if you're looking at a person saying, how do I be kind to that guy or that lady? Say, well, stop saying or thinking anything negative about that person. You say, well, I don't know if I could do that. They are negative, or there's lots of reasons to. Well, that's why this is a challenge, right? Where you'd say, Lord, I'm willing to set that aside, kind of leave justice in your hands. But for me, I'm not going to focus on those things. I'm going to set that aside. Then practice praise. Daily affirm one positive trait or action about them. So you think of the profile of who it is you're thinking about. And I don't know who it could be, a sibling, a person at work, your spouse, could be one of your kids. And you go, all right, practice praise daily. How could I affirm just one thing in that person's life? You say 99% of this person is terrible. Okay, well, start with the 1% and thank God for that and call it out somehow. And then carry out some kindness. Do one small generous act for them each day. Now, clearly, the daily dynamic of this is going to be a lot simpler if you live in the same household as the person you're thinking of. And so that's where you would literally maybe have to practice this all the time. If it's someone you only encounter occasionally, then just say, anytime I run into this person, I want to be looking for a way to demonstrate love and kindness instead of looking for a way to escape out the back door so I don't have to pay attention to that person. Now, there's some rules for our challenge because we're going to go through this for five weeks, so I figure we need to set the ground rules here. So these are important. You can't break the rules, okay? Rule one, you are allowed to ask for help. So here we are in a church community. We all love each other. We all recognize we're on the journey together. So you can ask for help. If you say, I have real deep-seated hurts or real challenges with someone, we have a coaching team. We have pastoral counselors available that can help you navigate that. If you say, well, it's maybe not at that level, but I could just use some encouragement. Hey, the whole brotherhood and sisterhood here, that's what we're for. Corner somebody. We have today, there's people walking around with, how can I pray for you? Tags on, really hard to miss. Tackle one of those people and say, I need that. So you're allowed to ask for help in the challenge. Here's another rule. You are allowed to copy answers from the Bible. It's an open book test the whole way through. So you can open up your Bible and you can say, what should I do? And in fact, I would even say, I will grant you extra credit if you use your Bible. That would be a great blessing. Here's another one. You are allowed to be kind to more than one person at a time. I know some of you, very technically, you're looking at the sheet we handed out, and you're thinking, well, I already did that today, so now what? Well, do it again. That's okay. You can do it as many times as you want. And then, here we are, you are allowed to start over if you mess up. Probably, especially if you're used to being unkind or generally selfish, you're not going to just walk out the door right now and be awesome for 30 days in a row. You might have an unkind word or an angry moment or something's going to go wrong. When that comes, you're going to remember it. You're going to remember we talked about it. You're going to say, okay, I just messed this up, but I'm not quitting the challenge. I'm just doubling down. I'm going to say, Lord, I repent. I need to turn from this anger, this complaining, or whatever it is I just did. And maybe you need to apologize to someone and kind of make it right, and then you move right forward and you keep going on the challenge. Don't give up. Okay, so those are the rules. Please keep them. Here's a few tools to help. I mentioned the book, and I would encourage you to look at that if you're a reader. We didn't get one for every family because I read the book and thought, you know, I don't know that everybody needs this. The Bible actually, it's so simple. You say, I don't know if I need to read a book about all this. But if you'd like to read kind of the research of how powerful kindness is, you'll like the book. There's also, of course, the weekly church emails where we'll talk about this, kind of add to the challenge. There's life group discussions. Some of your life groups start right after the service. Some are tonight and then on throughout the rest of the week. The discussions for the next few weeks will center on how do we make this real? How do we live it? How do we practice it? And then, of course, there's church-wide kindness projects coming, which we'll announce as we get a little closer to them, where together we get to share the love of Jesus or just be nice to people around us. All right, so are you ready? That's the challenge. What I'd like to do as we wrap things up today, the team's going to come and sing one more song that will help us remember where the capacity we have to be kind is going to come from. Because left to our own devices, I'm one of them. We humans tend to get selfish and absorbed in our own issues. But when we look up to heaven and we see how good and glorious and merciful God has been, how patient he is, how giving he is, that inspires us to follow him. And so with the same love you received from Jesus, we want you to send that love out to others. The same kindness God has shown to you, we want you to walk in that kindness. So we're going to take some time and just worship the Lord together in that spirit. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for how you came at the time you did to rescue us from our sins when we weren't reaching up to you. We didn't deserve anything from you. Lord, you've shown so much mercy, so much grace, so much love, compassion, and patience to us. Now we want to follow you down that same path. We want to clothe ourselves with kindness. Pray that you'd give us the strength to do that, the clarity and courage to do it. And Lord, help us all to start right now. In Jesus' name we pray.